Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm talking with Sam and Ruth Barbanel, husband and wife, who live at 8 West Street, Sharon. They were kind enough to invite me to talk with them this afternoon. And Sam, tell me a little bit about the earliest that you can remember from your town where you lived. About your father and mother, your family, and what kind of a place it was.
Well, he had a farm, you know, and he had about 15 acres of land. My father was a dealer from horses himself, and we were working in the farm. I was really working hard in the farm. I was probably about 12 years old when I started working on the farm, helping out.
What kind of crops did you raise on the farm?
Just for ourselves, potatoes and rye, you know, for bread.
Okay.
And that's
any fruit, any orchards?
Fruit, we had a few apple trees and cherry trees.
Do you have any animals?
Yeah, cows, horses.
Just for your own use?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my father was dealing with horses. He used to bring horses and sell horses.
Uh-huh.
Of our use, we had a couple of horses steady, yeah. And I was working with them.
I see.
You know, plowing and everything else.
So you were the third brother.
I was the third brother, yeah.
Out of five?
Out of five, yeah. My other brothers, a tailor. This was a little older brother than me.
Yes.
And my two older brothers were dealing too with my father.
In business,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you kept the kosher house?
Really kosher. I had to daven in the morning. If I didn't daven, I didn't have to eat. No food.
Your father was a progressive man, but a religious man?
My father was. He belonged to the Hasidic.
Oh,
yeah.
Hasidic.
Yeah.
And who was his rabbi?
A rabbi was from a smaller town, like. Uh-huh. I don't remember the town.
That's okay, don't worry about that.
The rabbis used to come usually from the bigger cities to visit, like once or twice a year they used to come.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they're small towns, because I remember when I was a little girl with my father. When he had a problem, he went to the rabbi.
Well, of course. Yeah. You asked the rabbi what to do, and he says, God gave you a hand and God for help.
Health, right.
Even before he got married to my mother.
Yeah.
My mother was poor and he was poor, so he went to the rabbi to ask, what should I do?
Yeah.
So, you know, thinking back, you know, the rabbis are very smart.
Sure.
The way that he says to him, do you love this girl? He says, yeah. He says, marry her. You'll have plenty of money under your pillow. And my mother, when she had a few dollars, she used to put on the pillow so my father would see her. Rabbi said, you'll have plenty of money.
Well, there you are. Somehow these come true. All right, you remember that when you were 12, you started to work.
Right.
But before that, you had went to school, to cheder.
Well, between working, we went to school in cheder. And we didn't go much. I finished only 4 grades of school. And because the Pollocks didn't give us a chance.
Public school, you started at 6 or 7.
Seven years.
And you went till you were 11.
11, yeah. Well, while I was working, I still was going to school.
Yes, I see.
Oh, yeah. I was still going to school.
Well, what about cheder? Did you?
I learned cheder.
You went to cheder too?
Yeah.
What kind of a Jewish community was it?
It was a.
How many families would you say?
Probably about 25 families.
25 families.
Yeah.
And they were all mostly in business?
Working for themselves in business,
Were any rich people there, any rich Jews there?
Very few.
But they were comfortable.
Well, they had food. They had food.
That's it. But they catered mostly to the non-Jewish population.
Yeah.
You have Germans and Polish
people.
Who were the majority, would you say?
Polish more, I think, mostly than German. Yeah, we had quite a few Germans too. Well, our neighbors were Germans from both sides.
German. And it was a farming town, was it?
A farming town. Yeah. Everybody farmed for themselves.
Yeah.
And they
sold the surplus.
Well, whatever leftovers they sold it. And this is the way they made a living.
Yeah.
They kept enough to eat for themselves.
Yeah.
Whatever was leftover they sold, you know.
What's the highest school that was there? Did you have a high school there, a gymnasium?
No, not in Smolka.
The highest school was sixth grade over there.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
When you went to public school, were there any? Did you feel any anti-Semitism? Was there any problems?
Yeah, plenty of problems. Uh-huh. Plenty of problems. The kids used to chase us and beat us and. Polacks, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Polacks more than the Germans there.
But all
the
your brothers.
No.
Germans were the better people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let's see if this works.
Okay.
What kind of family life was there? Was the good social life, your brothers and sisters? In your home.
We were living very nice, Between the family, we were very good with each other.
Good relationship.
The kids were nice to each other,
he's asking about social life.
So.
Social life was different there than it's here. Uh-huh. Here you go looking for it.
Yes.
There, you get together in a house, and whoever could play an instrument was playing an instrument, whoever could sing was sang and made dances, all just
and family and friends. You
family
mean
and
friends?
Friends. Yeah, you didn't go in night local like you go here at the
nightclub,
or you go to a restaurant, and people couldn't afford it.
Yeah, of course.
So it was more of a social life in the community with the friends and family.
Yeah. Well, the Jews, in other words, the Jewish families stayed with themselves. They didn't mix socially with the others.
Oh no.
How about the Poles and the Germans? Did they mix socially?
Not too much either.
Not too much.
Everybody stayed with
them. They had their own churches?
Yes.
And I understand you had one synagogue.
He had one synagogue.
But you didn't have a full-time rabbi.
No rabbi. He had a synagogue was in somebody's house.
Oh, yes.
There was a neighbor. And every Saturday we went over there to pray. Uh-huh. We didn't have a rabbi, no.
Well, what was Saturday like in your house?
Saturdays,
yeah.
Saturday we went to shul in the morning.
Yeah.
We come home and we ate and everybody's relaxing and do nothing.
I see.
Yeah.
The father had his nap.
Oh, yeah. Probably.
And the kids went outside.
No cooking in Saturday.
No cooking
in Saturday.
Were you allowed to play? Could you play?
Oh, yeah. We could go out. Yeah, we walked around. We couldn't ride around like here. Of course, we didn't have any cars anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but even your bicycle, you didn't.
But
ride.
We weren't allowed to ride this bicycle.
What kind of politics was your father? What kind? How was he politically? Was he? The government was Polish government.
Polish government. My father didn't mix into politics.
Were there any political discussions in your house?
Not that I remember.
Did you, was there a Yiddish newspaper? Did you get a paper?
So our town of paper, I don't think so we could get one. Only when we went to the city.
By post.
We didn't even get it. Only we went to the city, then we bought a paper probably. Yeah.
But everybody could read Yiddish.
Yeah.
You talked Yiddish.
Oh yeah, 100% Yiddish.
Yeah.
No Polish talking in the house.
Yeah.
God forbid.
Are there any Yiddish books? Did you have any Yiddish books?
Yeah, Siddhartha Davin, not
no,
reading.
I don't mean the
I know what you mean.
Books.
No.
I Yiddish, like Shalom Aleichem or any other books?
I don't remember. No. I really don't remember.
And in the Hebrew school, you only had Hebrew lessons,
Hebrew
religious
lessons. Right.
Yeah.
No historical lessons.
Yeah, but everybody could read and everybody could write.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, so you were 18 when the Germans
I was
invaded.
18 years old, yeah.
So,
and
so you were born in 1921?
No,
you were
1919.
You were 1919, so you were
20.
So you were 20?
20 years old.
Okay,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
All right. So you were 20 years old,
20
and you were about to be taken to the army.
To the army, right. Yeah, if it would have lasted another 2 weeks, I would have been in the army.
In the Polish
yeah,
army.
Polish army.
All right, describe to me if you remember the day when you heard that Germany invaded Poland. Do you remember that?
I remember, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay, let's start with that.
Yeah.
In 1939, the Germans come into Poland.
Right.
Did the Russians come into here too? Because I remember to ask. The Germans came and then the Russians came because they were taken in 1939 because I remember they asked my father, they just went by like, they didn't stay. They asked my father if we want to go to Russia because a lot of people went to Russia.
Enough,
yeah,
right.
As a matter of fact, a few boys from our town went with them. They left. But my father, we had a small, few acres of land, and he was dealing with cattle. So he went to the German neighbor and asked him, what do you think I should do? Because I remember I was 11. And he went and he asked the neighbor, and he said to him, what should I do? They want me to go to Russia.
The Russians asked
the Russians,
Jewish people.
And I have to leave everything. You know, it was in September, was it? 1939?
Right,
and we had all the potatoes from our fields already in the cellar and, you know, prepared for the winter. So he had to leave everything. So he asked his neighbor, German, what should I do? What do you think? Are the Germans going to let us live? So he says to him in German, du bist der gute Jude.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to hurt you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have, see, the peasants in the town, they didn't come,
yeah.
The Russians wasn't in your town.
I don't think so. Close.
So they didn't,
maybe I don't remember.
Russians did not go as far as this town because Henry told me that your father was thinking of going, but they changed his mind. Yeah, when the Russians retreated and the Germans came in.
Russia came in the only world, how long? About
so
few
just,
days.
It was like
they just go by and then they went
like
back.
One day.
This was their deal. Russia's going to stay up to the book.
Yeah.
Near Vlad,
the
other side, Vladava.
Right.
And the Germans stay in this side. See.
All right, describe to me the day then, Sam, when you heard about the German invasion.
Well, when they took over Poland, everybody got scared.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everybody got scared. We didn't know what's going to happen. Of course, we were working, and one day a bunch of Germans come in and were looking for my middle brother.
Wait, we're going to get to that in a minute. I want to develop this a little more. How did you hear? Was it through the radio?
Radio.
Yeah. Well, everybody knew it. It didn't take him long to be in our town.
But you were how many miles away from the German border, would you say?
We were far from the German
from
border.
The German
it only took him 10 days to take over whole Poland, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, they crossed into Poland, and your town was, a couple of 100 miles from the German border?
More, maybe.
Okay.
It was far, because we were closer to the Russian border.
Yes.
We were closer.
It was far.
I see.
But as they say, it only took him 10 days
to take
all the whole
Poland. They took
came. Yeah,
I think it
right.
took him about 3 days till they came in our town.
Yeah. 3 days after the invasion.
I think so. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Before that, I assumed that everybody knew what was happening in Germany.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody was scared.
What was happening to the Jews?
That's, you know, when it doesn't affect you personally, you can't imagine how bad it is. You really can't, because you heard what they did. They were burning the shores. They were sending out children on ships just to wander around, and nobody wanted them. A lot of German people came to Poland.
Yes.
But still, and even the German, the German Jews still believe that they're going to go someday, they're going to go back to their homes, they used to say. So actually, until we had the experience, we didn't know how bad it was. We heard.
We heard, of course.
But we didn't know how bad
it was. Any German Jewish refugees come to your town or to your house?
From Germany?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And you heard from them what was going on?
Yeah, we heard from them. Yeah, they told us.
They told
you. Told us what happened. They didn't want to believe it's going to happen so bad. Nobody believed it.
And how long did they stay in your house? Would they stay in your house?
The Jews?
Yeah, the German Jews who were fleeing.
They went by. A few of them stayed a few days and then they kept going.
And did they give you any advice? Did they tell you to run to them?
No advice.
No?
Nothing. Nothing. They just told us they got to move, keep going. They put them up, whatever the Germans put them up, they went, that's it.
Yeah, And most of the Jewish families in your town received these refugees, as many as came.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, so the day when you heard the news, you heard the bad news, but nothing special happened in the town.
No, nothing special.
The Germans and the Poles didn't make any demonstration.
No, nothing.
And the Jews and the Germans and the Poles didn't.
Well,
fight with each other.
They sat quiet to see what's going to happen.
Yeah. You
know? It was a few kids Germans that would tell them where the Jewish house and things like that.
It didn't take too long that they started off little by little.
Yeah.
That they gave out, you know, Jewish people, you know, you went to a shop, you had, like my father used to be sort of the sort of butcher in town too. So you'd have a cow or a sheep slaughtered by the shop. So right away that was out. So it was outlawed by the Germans.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing I remember. That was outlawed, and a lot of things that they could think of right away to outlaw that you couldn't do. Yeah, and the Jewish children could not attend
school.
That was right from the beginning. In 1939, in the fall, when the school opened, the Jewish children went to school, they sent them right home. They gave the order to the Polish people. No Jewish children are allowed to go to school.
But at that time, were the Germans in your town already? German army?
Yeah.
What town do you come from? Near him?
Well, it's called Nadrybia. A small town out in the country.
Near where?
Near...
She was closer to Lublin.
Near Lublin.
Yeah, it's all the same state.
Did you know each other?
I knew his older brother.
I see.
Yeah, he used to come because he used to deal with cattle, my father.
Your father.
So I knew his older brother, but I didn't know him.
Yeah, but you were a small little girl. At that time. And you didn't know him until you met him in Lublin.
In Vardava.
In Vardava.
Yeah.
After the war. We'll get to that in a minute. All right, now describe to me the day when the Germans came to the town. Was it a big group of armies, was it soldiers?
They stationed
in another town, not too far from us. They stationed. They used to come through, ride through and look over, but they find what people told them to do. Some of them showed them to the Jewish people, and they were looking for Jewish people and us.
So there wasn't a German army group in your town.
They went through.
And at some point they must have come in.
They stayed a few days. Gestapo was. They stayed over a few nights over and they kept moving further. was a little city, they called it, not too far from us, and over there, there was the station for that.
You were outside of that. And was there a German collaborators, a group, was there a committee, a government, a town government of non-Jews?
Well, it was Polish government before, then the Germans took over, yeah.
But they kicked the Polish out?
Actually, they didn't kick the Polish out.
They had to work for the Germans.
The Polish government working for the Germans. All right. But did the Polish farmers work for the German farmers? No. Were they forced to do that?
No, they were working just for themselves.
So the Jewish farmers.
The Jewish farmers had to work for them. Well, actually.
Didn't they you have to be beshechtik, you know? By a German, for nothing, work for free labor. Yes. Every Jew, this started early. I don't know if it was in your, I know it was in our time. Every Jew had to work for a non-Jew for free labor. Mm-hmm. Some of them worked some of them had to work for the Germans themselves, like they took tailors and shoemakers and all the people that could do things for them had to work for them. Now, most people, which were like businessmen or farmers, had to work. A Pulitz in Yiddish, like a prince. He had a big farm.
A landowner.
So, right. Like we had to work for the big landowner. Right. Our whole family. Yeah. Yeah. At first, sort of, you had to have a note telling you what, if a German caught you, you had to have a note that you're working, otherwise you would be in trouble. So right from the beginning, you tried not to work, so you had a note saying that you're working. You knew some people, so you had a note.
Were the Germans in your town?
No,
the German
they were
army?
In Zitzerfen, 7 miles. 7 kilometers from us.
From
the
devastation.
Yeah. But they used to come a lot.
The SS.
The SS. Used to come a lot, yeah.
All right.
As I say, at some point, every Jew had to work.
Right, yeah.
For the Germans or for the landowners. Yes. You had to have a job, otherwise you weren't working. And then they started naturally taking out from the small towns into the ghettos.
We'll get to that in a minute. All right, do you recall Henry about that time, what kind of a boy he was? Is he mischievous? Was he
No, it was not mischievous.
Fun?
Our family was not mischievous.
No. Fun? Or
well, fun we had a little bit, yeah.
Was he a good, strong young fellow?
Henry, yeah.
Well, he was only 12 when they...
Yeah, he was a young kid.
A young kid, yeah. Uh-huh. And you worked on a farm,
too. Yeah.
And do you remember anything specific about him?
Well, after specific.
Because he's the youngest son, so you have to spoil him, didn't you? Somebody had to spoil him.
It was not such. I don't remember spoiling anybody.
Life wasn't as good as here.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But a family, a Jewish family, a large family living on a farm. Kind of generate their own.
We are family from eight kids. Yeah. We were five brothers or three sisters.
Yeah.
And everybody was busy. Some of them went to school, some of them worked, and we had cows to take care.
Do you remember anything special about Henry?
No.
What do you think about him? What kind of a boy were you?
Stayed out of mischief.
So you didn't have any fun.
We didn't have a chance to get into mischief.
Well, mischief can mean many different things.
Yeah.
Obviously, you didn't chase girls, I don't imagine.
Probably did.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah, well, no, you should know. You see, I always got to confess.
Oh, yeah. We've been out. Yeah,
well,
of course we've been
out. You're interested.
Sure.
As far as I remember now, I was younger, I'm 10 years younger than he is.
Yeah.
So I worked, as soon as we could help out, we helped out. I mean, there was no such thing as children had nothing to do. There was always something to do.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So you always had to work, because my mother and father were working also, helping each other.
So
and we had to help when they were out. We had to help. We had to do housework. We had a cow that we had to take to pasture. We had a lot of things to do. So I assume it was, I don't know, I didn't know him. I assume it wasn't their house too. Everybody had chores to do. And Saturday, Shabbos, was
Shabbos,
the time
yeah.
to get together and
one
have
day.
Fun.
One day
yeah.
a week. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What did you do evenings? I mean, you got through
Mises.
It to work.
Did your people tell Mises?
Used to sit around. Oh, jokes. Yeah, used to tell jokes. Vaz was a house. All the time was people. You know,
yeah.
people traveled by the stop to stay
yeah.
down in the house.
Yeah.
It used to be a nice house, a funny
yeah.
house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it a big house? How many rooms in there?
There
were 2-car garage.
Did you believe it was a house big like this? It was only 2 rooms, a kitchen in a big room.
This is one floor.
This is the way they were built nowadays.
And eight children, and mother
eight
and father.
Right.
And where did the mother and father have their privacy? Or they hung a curtain or what? Everybody turned the other way.
This was really
eight
fun.
Children.
Who remembers in those things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she had a sex education early.
Really, it's...
you didn't have more than 2 rooms. I know in my house there were 2 rooms.
Two
there was a big kitchen,
yeah.
which was the dining room, and kitchen and living room.
Living room, yeah.
And then there was a bedroom, and everybody, we were 3 children, my father and mother, we all slept in the bedroom.
And maybe in the mother's bed, no?
No,
they
were
small.
When
they were small,
yeah.
Small.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah.
then we had the bed.
You had the bed. So it was a 3 in a bed.
Yeah, sure.
You didn't have bunk beds.
In the war, no bunk beds. In the war, during the war, my aunt and uncle came to live with us because they had to get away from wherever they lived because the Germans were looking for them. So they came with 5 daughters. So we slept 4.
Four in a bed, yeah.
See, we made room in the 2 rooms, 2 families, we made room for everybody.
Well, that's all right. That was the style of living, and people just accommodated themselves.
It was a style of living, probably just in the town. So
you know, here,
the
they talk about poor people.
Yeah.
I says, they don't know what poor is.
Yes.
Am I right
sure.
or not?
Yeah.
Can you, I'm just thinking right now how we used to live.
Yeah.
10 people in one room.
Yeah.
It was a large room.
Yeah.
You
could
didn't have any privacy, you didn't know any better. You thought
right.
this
you
is how everybody
need it. Yeah,
you didn't need it.
Yeah, yeah. And you had a big...
Oh, we're talking, God forbid, we should talk about things to...
About
sex. Say that.
That was forbidden.
All
right, then you had the big oven, right? In the middle of
the bigger oven, yeah.
My for heat for the whole house.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Had a big oven, served for the whole house. My mother used to cook over there.
And did you have a 2-tier where you could sleep on the top?
Well, it was a tier to sleep,
yeah.
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 What did they call
yeah.
it?
A piakalang. It used to be 2-tier,
yeah.
Anybody was cold during the
night. You want to hear something? Because my folks came from the old country, and I did too, 1921.
Yeah.
I was a little boy. But my father, there were 5 brothers and 1 sister.
Yeah.
And the night when the sister was born, see, my grandfather was away to the synagogue. It was Friday night. And my grandmother started to labor. So my father delivered his sister. See, that's how primitive people lived in those days.
Oh, sure.
Of course, he came in 1920.
Yeah. Oh sure, there was nobody went to doctors. I was got to which of a dime. Who went to doctors?
Yeah. There weren't any doctors there anyway.
And who could afford that? In the city there was a doctor, a dentist, but who could afford it to go?
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't have money, you didn't have extras. You barely made, well, in the city, in the country, there was very few people that were rich. Like in the shtetl that we lived, there was 1 family. That they were supposed to be the rich people. They didn't live like rich people, but they had enough food and they had enough more clothing and they had a little more luxury than the average person had. But only one thing, like those days the way people lived, were very charitable, as little as we had.
Yeah.
There was 1 family from the whole town that I remember, there was 1 family that were really poor. They didn't have to eat.
So it came before a holiday or before Shabbos. My mother turned around and took, you know, from everybody something. And
yeah.
brought to the family.
Yeah.
They should have for Shabbos mm-hmm. and for Yom Tov. And whoever came to the house, nobody was refused to sleep and to eat whatever
yeah.
he had.
Yeah.
It was
Well, it was a tradition
in
Jewish
yeah.
living at that time, and not so much today. And, but in that time, you shared with your
yes,
with your guests.
Yes, whatever you had, you shared.
And even in America, in Lynn, where we live, it's also it was only a small city. They had an Achnosis Archim, where travelers were received and given food and given shelter. For a long time, up to about 15 years ago, there was one there. Yeah. Okay, let's go back to your time, Sam. And so now you're aware that the Germans are there. They've been to your town. And what's happening? Everything is tightening up. What's happening to the Jewish families and your family?
Everything tightened up. Everybody was close together, and we were thinking what to do. Of course, how we get out of it, I really don't remember.
Well, didn't they start like taking individuals?
Side two of a conversation with Mr. and Mrs. Sam Barbanel. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. How long after the Germans came to your town and they started bothering your family?
Probably about a month. A month later they come in. And my third brother from the oldest, he was involved a little bit with politics. He started over there.
What kind of politics?
Just interesting to... With the Polish people over there.
You were not supposed to talk politics.
Politics.
If you talk politics, they didn't like it. You were supposed to be ignorant.
How old was he at that time?
He was 24.
All right, tell me, so what happened?
Well, he was teasing the Germans, you know, the Germans around us. Oh, Germany wouldn't come in here, Poland was going to kill him and things like this. So when the Germans walked in, all the Germans, not the neighbors from far away, they told him this guy was so and so. And the Germans come after him.
To your house?
To my house and looking for him.
With the SS or the German army?
The German army.
Yeah.
And they took him outside and they asked him where is his gun. They asked for guns and this, and he said, they didn't have a gun. And then they told him to run. And they started shooting, not on him,
someone
in the air, scare him. So a German from the neighbor came over here. And he talked to them, should leave him alone because it wasn't true, he didn't do nothing. One German, he had a good one, yeah. And somehow they left him, and left him alone.
That was the first incident?
The first incident, yeah.
All right, now continue. Yeah. So what happened after that? what was the conversation like in the house when you got through?
Scary conversation, very scary. Nobody could say nothing. What could he say?
Yeah.
He was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was afraid then. And
was there any conversation about what to do, or whether to stay or to run? Or?
Well, yes, it was. When the Russians come in, and the Russians ask anybody wants to go with them, to go back with them. So
how long after the Germans invaded did the Russians come?
Because if you say there was a month after, the Russians were already gone. The Russians were right from the beginning, right? The first few
days.
But
they were not in his town.
But it didn't take long.
But they gave us time. Anybody wanted to go afterwards. Could have gone. Even the Germans told you can go if you want to go. Yeah.
All right. So... you had this situation.
So my father and mother was talking, if should we go and shouldn't we go. We had everything here, they didn't want to leave it, and somehow we didn't go.
Yeah.
We stayed over there.
All right. And then what happened after that? Did the new laws that came in, did you have to give up your farm right away or what?
Not right away. Somehow we kept our farm. The Germans helped us out, the neighbors. And I was working the farm, and...
Okay, no, it doesn't have to be very specific.
Until what year were you staying there, and you could use the land and everything? Do you remember
that? They were there almost two years there, until 1941, because Henry said that's when everybody ran off to the woods. Well, let's continue with this thing here. Was your father able to continue doing his business?
No,
brothers?
No business. We had to stay put, all of us. We worked, in fact, me and Henry. Yeah. Henry and I went away in another town.
Oh.
And we took jobs and we stayed over there. We were sleeping over there and everything.
How long did you stay there?
Oh, about a year.
Oh.
Yeah. But a year we're working. See, that was the Germans would have taken us to the camp to work.
Yeah.
While they were working with us,
on the railroad,
bollocks,
on the roads.
Not in the roads. We were working in the farming. Okay. And
so without pay?
Without pay, just for food.
Yeah.
Just for
you
food.
Stayed on the farm where you worked?
Stayed over there, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was here and Henry was in the second house.
I see.
Two different people they were working. And my father and mother were home.
Yes.
And my brother and my sisters. One brother they took away to a camp work.
A work camp? Work camp. Not far from the town?
Oh, it wasn't too far.
All right, so you were at that time, you were 20, and Henry was 12.
Well, right?
21, and he was 13. He was 12, right?
Probably must have been
maybe 12, 13, or something like that. Was he a big fellow or just a small?
No, he was a pretty good size.
Yeah,
he was able to work.
Yeah.
He was able to work.
I mean, did he express any independence? Did he express any thoughts? And do you recall anything like that? Because later on he developed a very strong feeling apparently, and he said to himself, the Germans will never take me, I'll never work for them, and he ran off.
Wow.
That took courage for a young boy.
Well, this was home still, when he came to look for him,
he
took
the,
he took off in the woods.
Was he the only one that took off to the woods? Did you go with him too? At the beginning?
I don't remember this.
All right,
together or separate?
You came from the town where you worked, all right? You came back home after a year. Is that what you said?
After a year of working, everybody had to give up. All the Jews had to go in the city.
To the ghetto.
This is in 42 already.
Yeah, that was in 42, but before that, I'm talking about before that.
We worked with us people till we had to leave.
Until
we had to leave him, yeah.
Henry tells a story, and you heard it when I came in for about 5 minutes, that he was supposed to go to work and he didn't want to and he ran away.
There was probably, wasn't it to a labor camp? Wasn't it a labor
camp?
Yeah. This was before we went away, into the house. They come and they look for us. They wanted to take the work out. To me, I was working the farm, so the Germans come over and say, oh, he's working at the home, you can't take him away.
Yeah.
See, so they left me alone. Or the rest of them, they wanted to take away, so they took off to the woods, hide themselves,
But Henry says that he took off to the woods. And they came and they threatened they were going to burn down the house, so he came back, and he went to the camp, to the work camp. See? and that's where they beat him up. And he worked 4 days there, or 5 days. He describes instances where they took a wagon, and instead of horses, they got 8 Jewish men, 4 on each side,
to go to the woods
and pick lumber. And they had to pull the wagon back.
Pull the wagon, yes.
And the 2 Germans were sitting on top. And then when they came back to camp, the Germans made a circle, and they beat up everybody that ran around. Did you have any experience like that? Were you in a work camp?
No, I never was in a work camp. Never worked in a camp. No.
Apparently, because he was always on the farm, he was the work on the farm.
I see.
They didn't touch him from the beginning.
I see. But then you had to give up the farm, didn't you?
We had to give up the farm. When we had to give up the farm, one of our Polacks took it.
Yeah.
I assume he took it, or he still had something.
Still lived there.
I wasn't there yet. My father was living there yet.
Yeah.
I wasn't there yet. Me, like in Henry, wasn't working the farms and the Pollocks already in another town. Yeah. This is the only reason. This is the only way we could. We didn't take us to the camps.
All right. So what about your older brothers? Were they in the work camps?
One of them was. Schleimer was, yeah. The other ones were home.
Yeah. You didn't take any women or girls to work camp?
From our town they didn't. Some places they did take women, yeah. Somehow.
Yeah, I understand they did take women.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Well, all right, so now it's 1940, and you're still working, you and Henry are working on a farm.
Farms.
The mother and father are still at the
still
house.
In the house.
And then the...
I don't know how it was around you, but I know... See, every few months, the SS would come to the settlement, the Jewish settlement, and they call, like, the Jewish people call an oblabe. So if you heard the Germans were coming, so you tried to hide whoever. And whoever they found, they killed. Yeah. So, and then after they left, people went back to their homes and lived again. And that happened a lot, you know, before they evacuated everybody to a certain place.
Yeah.
So that, I'm sure, must have happened.
It happened last too,
it's long, it's many years, and a lot of things he doesn't remember because he doesn't like to talk about.
Yeah, well, I hope you don't mind, Sam. I'm pushing you a little bit, but maybe it brings back your memories.
It brings a lot of them back,
They're not pleasant memories. And if you want to stop, it's okay with me. But I'm getting to now the day when the order came out that the Jews have to leave and go to the ghetto.
Then,
what happened then?
This is 1942.
Yeah.
Everybody had to leave. Mm-hmm. So me, the guys that we used to work, me and my brother, they said, well, we cannot keep you anymore, you gotta go. So we went home, and then we got the whole family, everybody was on that. Someone, Shlomi come home too.
Must have ran away.
Yeah, I think,
you know, you could feel the times that they were tightening up, that they killed the Jews, they took them to the crematorium, they called in the gas chambers. So everybody felt that it's closing in. So you looked for what to do. Like they went to the woods. They didn't go to the ghetto. Like my family, they go
home. Everybody went home. They took, the Germans were there too. They were watching us. So we loaded up and everybody was gone.
So was this gone. At night?
No, it was during the night. During the day. So towards the city was woods. So myself and my brother say we're not going to the city. We're not going to the city, we're going to stay in the woods and hide ourselves. And so we told our father and mother, says, okay, and we already kissed each other and we went away to the woods. And my mother and father went straight. And somehow they decided in the road, they don't want to go through, they come back to us, they find us. And we stayed in the woods for a long time. We went in nighttime to the town.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
Henry tells me that he recalls, or he heard told, that on the way to the ghetto, your mother and father met a Polish man or somebody who was coming out of there, And he said to them, for heaven's sake, don't go there. They're killing everybody. So maybe you don't remember it.
Maybe heaven should remember more than
heaven. So they turned around and went back.
Yeah, they did come back. So
now you're in the woods, in the forest.
Yeah.
The whole family's in the forest. There's no, you don't have any tents. You have no
No tents. We're just living in the woods. We made a fire.
What time of the year was this?
This was in the late fall.
Late fall?
Late fall, yeah. Because my father and mother got killed in December. Yeah, late fall. It was probably in September sometimes.
Were there any other families, Jewish families?
Yeah. Afterwards, we find more Jewish family. They did the same thing. And we went, my family too, my father's brother and sisters. And they had families too. But we were sitting quite a long time in the woods. And then nighttime, the younger brothers, we went out to town. We had, you know, people knew us.
You had some guns, did you? Did you have guns?
No, we didn't have any guns yet. My middle brother had a pistol, he had a pistol. My middle brother had
Would
a
you
pistol.
Say that your family were the leading family, the first family to conceive the idea of...
We were the first ones, yeah.
First ones, your brothers were the first ones?
We were the first ones to went to the woods, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And did they attract any other, was there any organization there among the younger people in the woods?
Well, a lot of them didn't care for going to the woods.
No.
They didn't know. They talked to them, and a lot of them went away to the ghettos. Yeah.
Okay, so what did you do in the woods during the day?
During the day, we were sitting quiet. We had a little fire going, it was cold.
You had to watch, nobody sees you, even the Poles, you had to hide.
Oh, yeah.
You had to be quiet.
How about the children?
The children, they were quiet, we kept them quiet.
Right.
Even the children felt the fear.
Yeah.
The children felt the fear. Everybody was quiet, because I remember we were in hiding. So they were smaller children, my little sister. Everybody was so quiet, you can't believe.
Where were you hiding?
We were hiding, there was towards the end, like a year before we got freed, we were in a hiding place by a Polish
family.
Kept us under hay in a barn.
Oh, I have to get to you another day and you tell me your story. It's your special story.
Yeah, the only thing I want to bring up is children. You know, children are noisy.
Yeah.
But those days, they weren't noisy. They felt they had to be quiet.
Oh, well, some kids, they were crying, you know. Yeah. They kept them quiet. They put their hands over them. And
all right, so it's now the fall, and you're out there in the woods. And then what happened? How long before you were discovered or somebody spotted you or something?
It didn't take long. One Polak find us, and he brought the Germans. Yeah, he brought the Germans.
You couldn't kill him? Did you see him?
No, actually, we didn't see him, but they find out. They hear the noise probably, and they find out there's Jews over there, and they went back, and second day some Germans come. First one, they come, my brother-in-law was killed.
Your brother?
My brother-in-law.
Your brother-in-law.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had experience too. And he was in military.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He was Polish military, you know. He had experience, so he had that.
I
can't remember everything.
Yeah,
it upsets me, you know?
Yeah. Well, it does. We have to stop sometimes. Why don't we stop for 5 minutes?
Coffee, huh?
Yeah.
No hurry. All right, Sam. Now you're now in the woods. The whole family's in the woods. And it's around September of 1942, was it?
1942.
And where did you find food? How did you?
Well, nighttime we went out to. We had friends, you know,
Polish
over there.
Polish people.
One Polish people was very nice to us, and we went over there, and he gave us some food. He helped us, and He even gave us a couple of guns too. Yeah.
He must have been an anti-fascist.
Well, he was. He was a nice guy. He wasn't a German. He was a Polish. Yeah.
So you used to get whatever you could from neighbors.
Whatever
we
took. Whatever they gave us, we took, and this is the way we were living.
Did you ever run
first
into opposition from people that you talked with?
Well, I'm sure they didn't go where other people could see. We're going, secretly at night.
We only went to people where we knew that they're not going to say nothing. They're going to help us.
You did go late at night when other people were sleeping. You didn't go through roads, sure, because we lived through. We went through, where two fields meet. There's a little narrow path like.
Yeah.
So you use paths between not the main road.
Not the main road, All right, so now it's October, it's November and December, and it's cold.
It's cold.
And snow came.
Snow came.
Yeah. And you're still in the woods.
We're still in the woods.
Did you move around? Did you have to?
We moved from one place to the other. We always sat maybe a few days, so whatever people could.
And how far away would you move?
Not too far, few
another
miles.
Another thing, weren't you hoping, at that time already, there was the war between Germany and Russia,
you remember.
So everybody was hoping
that
something is going to turn and we're going to be liberated. There was another hope, that's why people wanted to hide and just...
Yeah. But at the point where... all right, now tell me a little bit about how you organize this partisan group. At what point did you become a group of young people with guns?
Well, this was afterwards. We still had the family. When we had the family, we just were sitting. We were sitting quiet. We didn't want nobody to know where we are. So nighttime we went out for food, and we were feeding this. The first thing we were feeding is the little kids. My sister had three little kids. My brother had two little kids.
Yeah.
First thing we were feeding
children.
Keep them quiet. Yeah. Feed the kids.
Do you take sugar? And,
yes, I take it. All right, now Henry told me about the two incidents where, in the first one, your mother and father were killed.
First was a brother and my sister-in-law got killed.
Yeah,
and it was left two little kids from his. Two little kids were left with us.
I see.
And we kept them with us.
Mm-hmm.
And the second incident was my brother-in-law got killed.
Mm-hmm.
This was from one, maybe less 1 week from the other.
I see.
And
one
week was a big one already. Germans come and they circled us around, and they started shooting. Then my father got killed, and my mother, and all the little kids. My sister got killed. My older sister with the kids. My father. If we find them, he was carrying a little girl, and she probably was alive. She wasn't even shot through. They probably killed her like this.
What happened to you? How did you run?
We ran away. Everybody was running separate.
We
didn't have much to fight against.
Did you run with Henry?
I was separate completely with my father's brother's wife. I was with her. Somehow both of us were running, and we were hiding. We were hiding. Two of them sitting, nobody can find. We saw the Germans running and shooting. And we were sitting quiet till it got dark. And dark, when it got dark, we went into the same place where we were sitting before. So we find everybody killed.
Yeah.
Then my brother came, my oldest brother, and Henry came. And they got together all of his back like this. But whoever was left alive come back to the same place, look for each other.
All right, so the next day, You left the place, I assume, whoever was left alive.
First thing, we took everybody, the dead ones, and then buried them. That was first up.
Yeah.
Then I was left in my oldest brother and Henry. And two sisters were left with us. We buried them and we went away in another place.
Were there other people with you?
Yeah, there was other people with us, the families, yeah. Not too many of them.
A lot of people killed at that
time. Oh, yeah. There a lot of people were killed. My father's brother was killed and his daughters. So after we buried them, we took off and we went to another place.
But in the same area?
The same area, yeah. Just a few miles farther away. We went away, so we were staying over there a few weeks and the same thing happened again.
Yeah.
Then one of my sisters got killed and my cousins, a few of them.
Tell me about the time when your younger sister got wounded.
And yeah.
You carried her for...
This was one time my...
Was she wounded when your older sister was killed?
She was the last one that wounded. She was wounded, so I was left, and my Henry, and my oldest brother, and the sister, and we carried around from one place to another.
Yeah. He told me the whole story, Henry, about his sister.
Well,
and
I
he
knew
cared
it.
Her for two months.
Yeah.
She had 7 holes in her side.
Yeah, she was really wounded. Oh,
there was no medicine.
Of course.
There was nothing.
Nothing.
And he carried on a stretcher. What a story that is. Wow. Sad story. And how she stayed one night too long in the ghetto.
Then
my oldest brother, he decided there's no medication. To keep her alive, he's going to take her and he's going to go to the city to the ghetto with her.
He was in our house at that time, yeah. His brother came to...
With his sister.
Well, I didn't see his... He took his sister somewhere to a doctor.
Yeah.
Because he had other friends there and to take care of her. But he knew my father, he did the business of my father.
Yeah.
My father was still alive at the time.
Yeah.
So he came to see us because we were in the ghetto at the time. So he was telling us that
the story. So the sister stayed with a relative.
My brother stayed over there too, oldest brother.
Yeah.
So they stayed till 40.
Through the winter, I guess.
He didn't stay long. He couldn't have stayed long. He must have gone.
When was the last funeral?
The last funeral was right after Pesach. It was, I think, the 1st of May or something around there, 1943.
Anyways, he stayed with over there, and somehow he cured her. She was already healed up and everything. One time, he wanted to see what happened to us. So he left over there and he came with another couple of guys. He knew where he was going to find us. He knew the area very good.
At that time, you were more organized than
everybody. Oh, yeah. Then we had already, everybody had a gun. I had a gun. We were only a few of us. Me, my brother, and a girl. And we had a Russian guy with us. And two other Jewish boys. We only about 5 of us, 6. People were staying all by ourselves.
Yeah.
Then we had guns for ourselves already, and we went in nighttime. We took food. We didn't have to ask for food. We took it.
Did you harass the Germans? Did you attack the Germans? Not yet.
It was later.
Later on, yeah.
All right. Your brother left the ghetto to come and see
to come and see us. He find us.
Yeah.
And he told us all the story. She's all right. She's healthy and her. And somehow. Happened when they made you.
Well,
right?
he was probably supposed to go back to pick her up. Meanwhile, you don't know when they schedule the mass murdering.
He left, and then, as Henry tells it, because your cousin asked for one more night for the so that they could all go
yeah,
to the
right.
next day,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
to
right.
the forest,
yeah.
and that's
right.
when the Germans came.
The
in.
Germans
right.
came in and took them all away. Yeah.
Them
so
all
our
away.
Sister went, and we don't know what happened.
Yeah.
We don't know what happened,
know.
Or where, or
yeah.
what,
yeah.
and where they took her.
Because we were at that time, it lasted for 2 days, and we were in hiding. But my family lived, they were together, and there was a petition, and they were outside together where the Poles lived. So, and we had a little place near the house that we kept certain things like coal for the stove, and this had an attic. So we were sitting in that attic for 2 days. About 30 people, Jewish people, and we looked out and we saw what was going on. They were killing left and right, you know, whoever didn't move fast enough, they were killing. And then they took them all to the train to take to Sobibor, which was the gas chamber. And they announced that it was Judenrein. Towards the end of the second day, they announced that it was Judenrein. So, because a lot of time, until 1943, after the Aktie, that they called, then the people lived again in the ghettos, you know, what was left. Because
yeah.
a lot, whoever could hide could live again. But after that was it. So we had to leave that the city at night.
Mm-hmm. All right, so now you were about a half a dozen people, six or eight people with
Even
guns.
Half of, yeah.
And you consider yourself partisans as guerrillas. And how did you get together with other people so as you could form an effective unit?
It took a little while. See, my brother came back with a bunch of people from over there, and we got together. We didn't stay with them too long because somehow we couldn't make out with them very good. So we find another group of Jewish people, and we got together with them, and we were all. Then we were all, a whole bunch of partisans, and then we were fighting already.
But these people that you joined with, there are...
They went separate.
Yeah.
Which ones you mean?
The second group that you joined.
Was Chil?
Chil.
He was the captain.
Yeah, he was the captain.
He was the leader of
the Jewish partisans. Yeah.
And then you started action against the Germans.
Then we started action against the Germans, yeah.
And the Russians... supplied you with
The Russians supplied us. The Russians actually supplied the Russian partisans, so we were together already
yeah.
with them. So.
Did you have any trouble from the Polish partisans?
Well, we had. Well, was some group were there. We had a lot of trouble with them.
Yeah.
We were fighting with them too, actually.
Four. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Checking. Yeah.
Last question I asked you, Sam, was can you remember any special incident that stands out in your mind, in your memory, rather? Any action against the Germans? Before we go, were you ever caught?
Was I ever caught?
Yeah.
We were going in one town. I was the uniform like this, and I was riding on a horse close to the town. So I think we knew a Germans over there. We just wanted to see how far they are. So I rode to them maybe about 100 feet from them. Mm-hmm. And then they saw German. They thought German is coming. When I saw them, I turned around and started going back because I started shooting. And my horse got killed.
And you fell down and you ran away.
Took off,
But they never caught you.
Never caught me. No.
Where did you run to the side, behind the house? Or
well, I ran away to to the other group, to my group, because I was and another guy was with me.
Oh,
and the other guy took off with the horse, and mine fell, so I had to run down.
But other than that, you were never caught, because Henry said he was at one time.
You mean, you understand what he's talking to? You were caught if the Germans actually...
We were fighting the Germans, sure. I mean, we weren't caught. I wasn't caught with them.
This
they didn't take me.
They never took you.
No, they
never
took me,
you.
No.
Yeah,
this is real.
Yeah. And who are these others?
Those other people.
That's, is that Dudkin?
Yeah.
Yehiel Dudkin.
Yeah.
This is Yehiel.
This is Yehiel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what this was?
Yonke.
What did it say? Partisana Yehiel and Dudkin was from. They don't, it doesn't say who.
Doesn't say
the
name.
Doesn't say the name. Oh,
no, I don't know.
Will you, well, at the point where you are now with the partisan group, and I understand there was about 150 almost
yeah.
at one time,
yeah.
you carried on action against
we
the Germans.
On action,
and, were you able to save any Jewish, any Jews
from
the Germans, from the ghettos mm-hmm. or the small towns?
Actually, very few. We took out a few of them from the ghetto.
You did.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
a couple of maybe two, three guys.
But why didn't you go into it? See, this is what he wants. You go into it. Well, how
no, no, no.
Happen?
Let him do it just exactly mm-hmm. the way he does. And it's a first visit. It isn't always, you're not prepared for some of these things. Women are better at this thing here than men.
I don't know. I'm very bad about this. I can't. It hurts me.
Yeah. Well, why don't we? I tell you.